Sister Sherry, thank you again for filling in for us. The playing was just beautiful, and I know everyone here was touched by it, and we appreciate it. So thank you. But beyond that, it is good to have you with us. And Garrett, it is good to have you with us today, too. Folks, it's good to have all of you here. And I've made similar comments, but you don't know till you've stood up here. Brother Pat knows, but there's a radiance that shines from God's people. And I see it in this house today. I am truly thankful for each and every one of you. I'm thankful for your faith. And, you know, we just sang Faith of Our Mothers. We are here today to, number one, worship God, but also to praise our mothers. You know, the Lord told us to honor our parents. If you don't have to turn here. It's not on the PowerPoint, but I just want to read it. It's a commandment out of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days will be long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you. It is the very first commandment with promise. We are to honor our parents. We celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day. They're different. Mothers and fathers are completely different. God created us male and female. And folks, there is a capacity that a mother can fill that a dad can't do. And we are here to honor our mothers. I'm thankful for each one of you that are here. You know, now, my mother's not with me, and many of you don't have your mothers with you, but we have those blessed memories. How precious they are. And if you look back at life, you recognize, you see the differences of the role that your mother played in your life. Now, folks, this message, I don't recall it ever being used for a Mother's Day message that I've heard anybody else preach. And we'll get to the main message in a little while. But first, I just want to share with you a couple things about mothers that you may or may not know. One of the things I looked up as we celebrate Mother's Day, there are more than twice as many Mother's Day cards sold as there are Father's Day. Now, does that mean that mothers are loved twice as much as dads? Maybe so. And you know, if they are, well, they deserve it. But I don't think it's that. I think it's just that the unique role that our mothers play in our lives is special. Mothers gave us birth. They brought us into this world through the Lord's blessing. And that bond, that connection that comes from our mothers, stays with us all of our lives. And men, we need to recognize the importance, the influence that women and mothers play in our lives. And you know, it just isn't confined to a mother. It goes to grandmothers, it goes to aunts, it goes to all godly women that play a vital role in a child's life. From nurses to school teachers, mothers are unique. Women are unique in the influence that they have in all people's lives. So I have a couple of quotes here, just two or three, and then we'll get on to a little more of our message. And this is directed to the men here. You men need to understand this. This quote was taken from a woman, and she says, "It's not easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers would do it." I think that's true. Now, you'll never guess where that came from. It came from somebody who was a character. Her name was Dorothy on the Golden Girls. Grandmother's wisdom there. Another wise person said the following. The quickest way for a mother to get the attention of her children, and there's some children here, but we've all been children, so we can relate to this. You need to listen. The quickest way for a mother to get the attention of her children is to sit down and look comfortable. Doesn't happen very often, especially when they're little, does it? Now, we've got some teachers here. I think you can relate to the following. A junior high science teacher lectured on the properties of magnets for the entire class. It was the end of the semester, and this teacher was a man, and he was trying to do something to help the kids because some of them, their grades were lacking. So he needed to cover this in science class anyway, the properties of magnets. You know, there's lots of different types of magnets, ferric and ceramic, and there's quite a long list. So he was teaching about all the properties of magnets. And it was close to the end of the year. The whole day he taught on it. And the next day he told them, I'm going to give you a quiz on magnets, so go home and study. Well, they did. So the next day, the very first question was, my name begins with M, has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I? And more than half of the students replied back, Mother. You see, you can't escape what mothers do, even when it's subconscious. You can't get away from it. Our mothers leave an indelible touch on us and influences that sometimes are seen long after the fact when we've become grown. They go with us all of our lives. Now, we're going to turn to God's Word here in just a moment. Proverbs 31 is a proverb that is known by most everybody. It's about a virtuous woman. But folks, I want you to recognize something as we turn here, and it will be on our PowerPoint. The words of King Lemuel's mother. Have you ever noticed that when you read this? Usually we drop down to the properties of the influence of a virtuous woman. But who is this written by? The words of King Lemuel's mother. And I'm probably not pronouncing his words this right. Now, you can't find anything about King Lemuel in the Bible. Most researchers think that Solomon penned this proverb, and he used a pseudonym. But it really doesn't matter. Because if Solomon was writing this, then his mother was Bathsheba. These words came from the influence of a loving mother. And I want you, especially the men here, to think about these words, because I'm going to read the first portion. Because there's a division and a separation that we see here from the guidance and the wisdom of a mother. And this is not our main text. This is to illustrate. And he's talking to, probably to Solomon. But if not, if King Lemuel was an actual figure, his mother is guiding her because he has become a king. And she says, what, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? And here comes the instructions. Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. So what she's saying in nicely worded language is, do not be pulled aside and led astray by evil influences that surround you, by the immorality which surrounded Israel in a very, very constant and quite a large degree. Do not be pulled astray. In the following words, she will say, do not be given to excessive drink. And she goes on to tell him how to live, how to have the dignity of a king, and remember those who are less fortunate. In contrast to this, I want you to read what Proverbs number 5 tells us. And folks, I call this the Kardashian influence. Because when we look around society today, I think they epitomize the difference of what King Lemuel's mother just said and what we find here. And here in Proverbs, the instruction is, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Isn't this the instruction that mothers want to give to their children? Do not be deceived. Listen to my teachings. For godly women and mothers, that comes from the Lord. And they are employing their children to listen to my instructions. Now, we just read the description of this ungodly woman that they are being counseled to stay away from. Well, let's go back to Proverbs 31, and we're going to pick and choose a couple of the verses where it talks about the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of his life. And then verses 26 through 28, it describes a mother. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you exceed them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. How wonderful is a godly mother? Abraham Lincoln said the following, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." How true that is. Especially the older you get, the more you recognize that. Now, folks, I'm telling you something that I believe 100% from my heart, from everybody that's here. I believe that every one of us have been blessed to have a virtuous wife and either still have or have had a virtuous mother. So if you are so blessed to have your mother with you here, reach out and squeeze her hand. Do so now. Or give her a hug or whatever you want to do. Count your blessings that she is still with you. Now I want to share with you, we're going to get now more directed to godly women and the effect that they have in our lives. How many women here have prayed for your children, for your nieces and nephews, for your parents, for others in your lives? Please raise your hand. Of course you have. Of course you have. I want to share with you now. I see a few tissues. And that's okay. There might be a few more tears before this message is over. And these words hit home to me. These are lyrics from a song from the late 1990s. How true they are. This was written by Randy Travis. And it's called When Mama Prayed. Listen to these words because I believe that they're in his life were true. Daddy never went to church on Sunday. He said, "That's one thing I'll never do." But Mama never gave up. She said one day, "He'll be sitting here beside me and you." I can still hear Mama softly talking with her tears falling on her folded hands. So that Easter Sunday, Daddy walked in. That's when I began to understand. When Mama prayed, good things happened. When Mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all the way when Mama prayed. 17 and wild, I hit the bottle. Doing anything, I dang well pleased. Burning down life's highway at full throttle, while Mama burned a candle on her knees. Then one night, I came home half sober. I saw Mama kneeling in the den. As I listened, she and Jesus talked it over, and I knew my restless days were about to end. When Mama prayed, good things happened. When Mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all the way when Mama prayed. It isn't like every one of them got answered, but the times they weren't, it seems to me, were rare. You almost felt sorry for the devil, because heaven knows he didn't have a prayer when Mama prayed. Not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all the way when Mama prayed. They crumbled all the way when Mama prayed. Can you remember your mother praying? I can. I remember her tears falling too. And as may be the case with most boys, we were the cause of at least a few of them. But folks, prayer makes a difference. It's hard to believe what I'm about to share with you happened 20 years ago, but it did. A mother wrote in to a radio show she called in. And this is the transcript of when she called 20 years ago. And these are her words. She says her oldest son was serving in the 4th Infantry Division in Iraq. And she said the following, "My oldest son has been in Iraq since last April. He left April 1st of 03. To say that when he left was difficult is not a strong enough word. Then sending him off again after R&R last October was even harder. I have lifted him up in prayer many, many times. I pray without ceasing. Many times I have been awakened in the middle of the night with the urgent need to pray. Later I found out from my son that one of those times that they were ambushed. I have not just learned about faith, but am living it. I have learned faith is not an emotion. You just do it. You step out into it." Folks, we're going to turn to our main message now about the faith of a loving mother. I will tell you, and I believe this with my whole heart, and I believe that any pastor that has stood up here in this pulpit would agree with my words too. God moves when godly mothers pray. And to you mothers, and to dads too, it may take a while when you pray, but a persistent praying mother, God will hear and He will not turn away. And I think that most of the men sitting here in this congregation will bear testimony to that, that God heard the prayers of your mother in your behalf. Now let's turn to a story. This is a wonderful story about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and about a loving mother. Turn to me to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew chapter 15. And this, in my view, is a mother who put faith into action. Now, folks, I'm going to do this a little differently than we have. Normally, I read the entire passage, and then we back up. This time, I'm just going to read a portion, and we're going to stop. And I'm going to ask that you don't go any further than what we read together. We're going to stop and then evaluate and try to learn from what we are reading just one passage at a time. Matthew chapter 15. The entire passage is 21 through 28, but we are going to read just the beginning passage. "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" Now, folks, just a moment. We need to stop and understand a little bit better what this means. Jesus had gone out into Tyre. And in Tyre and Sidon, Jesus found a Canaanite woman. A woman who was not Jewish. The Canaanites were actually considered enemies to the Jewish people. They were looked down upon. There was great animosity towards one another. But she was a woman who shared the same common denominator found in every mother. She loved her child, and her child had a problem. "My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Now, folks, the world will tell you differently, but I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you to tell others, that godly women, godly mothers must recognize two things. There is a devil, and the devil is out to destroy our children each and every day. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Folks, through social media, through the world at large, through the entertainment, through every facet of our society, evil is running rampant in our country today. And not just our country, it's running rampant worldwide through enticing and deceiving our children. And again, I'm simply going to call that the Kardashian effect, because if you look at the Kardashians, they want to point you to everything that is different from what was described about a virtuous woman. It wants to be everything opposite. The Kardashian effect is having a severe effect on our children. is making children look only to themselves, trying to be Mr. or Mrs. Popular with the whole world looking at me and nobody else matters. And anything I do for success overcomes whatever is required to get there. It doesn't matter how immoral I act. It doesn't matter who sees me. The more I can get for a shock value, the better off it is. I make more money. And that's what the Kardashians do. And I'm not trying to single them out. We need to pray for everybody that is so blinded and gone astray in our society because it's rampant. And we need to protect our children from this effect. But getting back to this woman, this Canaanite woman, let's start reading verse 22 again. You see, she had a plan. She went to the Lord. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely possessed." Now, folks, I believe Jesus didn't go there just by happenstance. He went there for a reason. He knew this encounter was going to take place because he was God on earth in the physical embodiment. He was Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And he knew what was going to occur. And he was using this to have two effects. Number one, on the woman, but also on the disciples. And I hope we see that here in just a moment. He intended it because the very first thing that was looked at here was faith. And faith comes back to me and you. It comes back to every godly mother. See, she had the faith to go to Jesus. And I want you to understand clearly. Sometimes we pray, but we don't believe what we're praying. You have to believe what you are praying. If you don't believe, the Lord will not answer our prayers. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Folks, diligently seek him. You have to believe. You have to have faith in the Lord. This woman was a Canaanite woman. She's going to a Jewish leader. And she was persistent about it. See, folks, sometimes we have to pray more than once. Sometimes our prayers take a long, long time. There are reasons for that, I believe. Sometimes it's hard to understand. But there are reasons in it. We have to continually go to the Lord with our problems. And we have to pray no matter how long it takes. You see, that's what persistence is. Put yourself in this woman's spot as we read verse 23. "But he, being Jesus, answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urging him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries after us.'" I want you to recognize that even though Jesus didn't answer, she didn't give up because of his silence. She was so persistent that the disciples were being annoyed. She wouldn't leave them alone. And the disciples were asking Jesus to send her away. To send her away. See, she wasn't Jewish. She really was an enemy. They looked down on the Canaanites. They didn't have the compassion that they should have had. Here was a mother crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what a loving, persistent mother would do? If you ladies put yourself in this mother's place, wouldn't you be crying out to the Lord for help? Crying to God, "Have mercy on me. Lord, help me." See, that's what persistence is. We never stop. We keep praying. And this applies to men too. It applies to all of God's people. We have to continually be in prayer. Ephesians 6:18 tells us, "Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints." Perseverance means that you keep trying. You don't stop because you tried once and there was silence. Jesus didn't answer her for a reason. Folks, we need to learn from this. Just because you try and you think you failed, you don't lay down where you fall. You get up again. You keep praying. You keep trying. You see, she overcame the obstacles and the objections. Let's read verse 24. "Because she didn't go away, she kept coming to him." And in verse 24, but he, this is Jesus, answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In verse 25, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, folks, this is a hard passage in a way. We need to learn several things from it. At first, he didn't answer a word, but this woman kept praying. She kept praying to God because, to Jesus, who, of course, was the Lord, because she knew that he was able. She had the faith. She knew that he could help her daughter. And we have to have that same strong faith when we pray. The disciples wanted her to go away, and she wouldn't. She kept coming through faith and through persistence in prayer. And so Jesus throws up an objection. We get reasons thrown at us all the time when we pray, don't we? Oh, you can't do this for that reason. Or you really believe that? That's what you think because of church? The world will tell us all types of things. It's different from what God's Word tells us. Jesus he told her the truth. He said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came to the lost sheep being the Jews. But it also went out to the Gentile land. But he was sent first to the house of Israel. She wasn't of that. You know, the Jewish people used to say, well, if you're not Jewish, you're not one of God's chosen. Thank God for Jesus Christ because that we have been adopted in as sons and daughters into the chosen people. All because of Jesus. And we see that here through this Canaanite woman. We see God's compassion. We see the love of a mother coming together. A loving mother crying out. Then she came and worshipped him. She worshipped him, folks. Sometimes we flippantly pray. We just do it quick and out of habit. Or we're going to God with our hearts open, laid bare before him, worshiping him, recognizing him as Lord. You know, when we use that term to recognize him as Lord, that means he's Lord of all. He's Lord of our lives. He's Lord of our children's lives. He's Lord of everything. And he is able. Why would you worship somebody who wasn't able? What good is that? Some people worship the Kardashians for their fame and their notoriety. And not just them, other people. Who do you worship, folks? Who is the number one most preeminent thing in your life? It needs to be Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Who is able? She came. A Canaanite woman. She came as she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. It's a hard saying. That's two objections. What were the disciples thinking? Were the disciples' faith as strong as this woman's? I'm going to tell you, at that time, some of them were not. Look at the tremendous faith that this woman has. She's not a Jewish woman. She's presented with what seems to be reasons not to help her. The Lord is testing her faith. Will she go away or will she continue to believe? Will she be persistent? She did persist because she knew the Lord was able and because she loved her daughter. Now, mothers, what would you do for your children? I think we have all seen there's nothing that a loving, godly mother wouldn't do for her children to help them. This daughter, who she loved, had a problem. And she was coming to the one who is able to deliver, to heal, and to help her with her problem. Where do you go when you have a problem? If we go to the outside world, sometimes, yes, there are things in this world that can help us. But folks, we need to go to God first and say, Lord, send me to the right people to help me. Whatever our problem may be, we go to God first. Because if you go to the world first, there are all there are influences there that aren't proper. And you need to have the wisdom to weed those influences out. And have the godly influence, like that comes from the virtuous women in our lives. Pray that the Lord would direct us to those influences that are positive and good, that will help us down our pathway, to help us with our problems, because not every influence is proper and virtuous. But she knew that the Lord was able. And I want you to also understand something from this. Jesus said it is not good to take the bread from the table and give it to the little dogs. See, I mentioned a minute ago that the Jewish people and the Canaanite peoples, they didn't really socialize together. The Jewish people looked down on them. They considered them dogs because of their pagan practices. They didn't worship God in the proper way. They had a lot of pagan gods in their lives. So they were looked down upon. But this mother didn't care that she was compared to a dog. She knew the Jewish people looked down to them. You think about the way she humbled herself to go to Jesus, a Jewish man, not a Canaanite man, for help. She didn't care what people thought of her. She was humbling herself because she wasn't going to the Lord out of, oh, look at me, I'm worthy, I'm a good person, you have to help me, I deserve it. No. That's what the world would tell you. You deserve it. You're entitled to it. Folks, we're giving each day and each breath by God's grace. We don't deserve anything. It is by His mercies each and every day that we are not consumed. It is by His loving and kind nature that He pardons our sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ. All we can do is go to the Lord humbly and in prayer, like this woman did, worshiping Him and appeal to His mercy. That's what she was doing. Was appealing to His mercy. And she, look at the remarkable answer of a loving mother. A loving mother. You think about the influences in your life. A mother's love. A mother's touch. And she said, yes, Lord. See, she's overcoming the obstacles because of her great love for her children. Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. What a mother. What an example. On Mother's Day, can you think of a godly woman that loves her children so much? This woman may not have been Jewish. But we learn from her example because she went to the Lord who was able to heal with her problem and she persisted. Who knows how long it took? I'm sure a lot went on before she got to Jesus. But she persisted and she overcame the objections. She humbled herself. She recognized that she wasn't Jewish, but yet even the grace that comes from God's word that falls upon the ungodly is enough. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Folks, when we're hurting, when mothers are walking down that road struggling with their children, when it's hard, when the finances are tight, when there's not enough to go around, when we go through the normal constrictions of life that are difficult, remember to go to God, to persevere in your prayer, and to have faith. The Lord will answer in due time. To all of the mothers, grandmothers, the aunts, to all women who have influence over children in any way, to all of you that are here today, I want to tell you, I've made this comment before, it is a privilege to be a parent and to be involved in a child's life. You never have more influence in your life than you do when you are exposed to a child and you can guide them and teach them under the admonition of what God's word instructs us. We have been entrusted You think about that for just a moment. We think the children are our own, and yes, mothers, you gave life. But that life was a blessing from on high, and God has entrusted you to raise these children. And that goes to both fathers and mothers too. We are to raise our children to teach them to love the Lord with all their hearts and all their souls, and to keep His commandments. His commandments, to live by His word. All along the way of our lives, our mother's influence will stay with us. A godly mother who doesn't yield and give up, her influence will be remembered, and it will shape and mold a son's or daughter's life. Never stop praying for your children. Never stop loving your children, even when you see them go astray. Cry out to God all the more so that the Lord will guide that child back home. Remember, folks, we've been entrusted with our children, but at the end of the road, they're God's children. They belong to the Lord. We have the privilege to be their parents or their aunts and uncles for whatever time the Lord gives us. And we need to thank God for that privilege. We need to thank God for the love that comes from the family unit that we have as parents and children and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews. It's demonstrative of God's love towards us. And all along that road where sometimes it's a little bumpy, sometimes like in the lyrics from that song When Mama Prayed, the tears of a godly mother are going to fall. But don't stop praying. Abraham Lincoln said the following: I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. I'm sure Abraham Lincoln, when he went through the stress and toils of trying to govern and lead this nation through the pangs of the Civil War, he remembered the prayers of a God-fearing, God-loving mother. And he just said, they have followed me all my life. Folks, as we pray, I want to read one more poem to you, as we close, I should say. And this comes from a mother. Listen, Lord, a mother's praying low and quiet. Listen, please. Listen what her tears are saying. See her heart upon its knees. Lift the load from her bowed shoulders till she sees and understands. You hold the worlds together, and you hold her problems in your hands. Folks, those were written by Ruth Bell Graham, Billy Graham's mother. What a godly influence. What a godly man, in part due to a loving mother that prayed for her son. We all have so much to be thankful for. You know, some of you, I've known over 50 years. And for all of you who have had an influence on my life, for all you women, I want to thank you. And I want you to remind you that we never know the influence that we're going to have on another person, especially on a child. Be a virtuous woman. Don't be led astray by the illusions of this world. Keep God's commandments, His love, His laws in your heart, and pass them on to the children. May God add His blessings, is my prayer, and thank God for godly mothers everywhere.